The gospel reading is from Mark chapter 10. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
People were bringing little children to him in order that he might touch them, and the disciples spoke sternly to them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Don't stop them, for it is to such as these that the kingdom of God belongs. Truly, I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God as a little child will never enter it." And he took them up in his arms, laid his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Thank you. This is a difficult day for some, because perhaps of a combination of events and circumstances, and we as a church, when it comes to things like Mothering Sunday, need to be very sensitive to that. I'm sure you look back over many years, some of you, and realise how sometimes we failed. At the same time, we want to celebrate the role that mothers have in the modern world that extends far beyond bearing and raising children. I look back over my own experience as a parent and now as a grandparent, and look at the behaviour of my children who are now in their 50s, thinking of some of the challenges of parenting. You know, it's quite interesting actually, because you know, do you know something? I always believed in original sin. When I became a parent, I became a fanatic. I didn't have to teach my son and daughter to do right. I didn't have to teach them to do wrong. I had to learn to teach them to do right. So it is a privilege and a responsibility of parenting that extends to all of us, and that includes a wider family and the wider church community. The Bible uses the image of God as Father, but there are a number of occasions when his character and concerns are expressed in feminine form. Now, for example, Jesus looked at Jerusalem and said, "I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings." I want this morning to be as inclusive as I can without appearing too woke or politically correct. The title from our Ephesian reading is Members of the Household of God, or as some translations put it, Members of the Family of God. And I'll put the first slide up. There we are, Members of the Family. I'll change them after that. Thank you. We had a gospel reading this morning of Jesus welcoming the children. We could equally well have dwelt on the parable, incidentally, of the prodigal son. We know that at a human level, the most secure anchorage we have is that of our families. In the journey of life, we walk with others who share that family life with us. And we could alternatively have had this another gospel reading we could have had, and I think you know the story very well, of the prodigal son, the runaway. And there are many runaways in society these days. His so-called friends abandoned him. Yet he was not alone, because there was a father who loved him and wanted him back. He belonged in a family, and that parable, which didn't read this morning, but you know it well, is an invitation to come home. And we do not need, whatever our status, to be alone. And maybe this morning is an encouragement for us to come home. And here are four reasons for belonging. I thought of others, actually, but here are four of them, and which are attached to the word family. Okay? Firstly, the family name. I don't know what your name looks like. There's some interesting names there. Your first name, your Christian name, means something. My surname, Hobbs, means a medieval word for sort of hobgoblin. It's not a particularly pleasant origin, but I'm very pleased that my name, my full name, Kenneth, means handsome. And my middle name, Brian, means strong. You know what your name means. Names give us personality, identity, security, and a sense of belonging. The family name. Now, I don't know about you, but looking around, I can see people in my generation here. We come from a generation when pop music had tunes. Do you remember that? They're all nodding approvingly. You'll invite me back, even when James is here. Probably invite me back for some nonsense like this. Do you remember Paul McCartney? Do you remember the song Nowhere Man? He's a real nowhere man, living in his nowhere land, making all his nowhere plans for nobody, doesn't have a point of view, knows not where he's going to. Isn't he a bit like me and you? And the world is full of nowhere men, nowhere people. And you can meet, sometimes you meet people. When I was working in Africa, occasionally, because of circumstances, I was able to meet a person who was actually stateless. I've also bumped into some who are homeless. But I've never bumped into anybody who was nameless. And the Christian name, the family name, Christian, comes from the beginning of Paul's missionary journeys in the book of Acts, in Acts chapter 13, Antioch. They're called Christians, followers of Christ. Excuse me. Now, there are two ways into a family. You can be born, you can come into a family by birth, and the words of Jesus are often much maligned and misunderstood. When he said to Nicodemus, "You must be born again." I spent 10 years away from this area, as some of you may know this, as the vicar of Albury, near Guildford. A man in the village came up to me and said, "Kent," he said, "I'm a Christian, but not the born-again sort." Tried to gently point out to him that the term born again is not equated, it is, sadly, but it's not true, of course, equated with certain right-wing evangelicals in America. It's a term used by Jesus himself to describe having that new birth, being born from above, born of the Spirit. That's the new birth. The Bible talks about coming into God's family by being born. It also talks about coming into God's family by being adopted. And if you were adopted, and I have some friends who are adopted, what a great encouragement it is to know that if you were adopted, all of us together were adopted into God's family. We're not born again by being British or by being baptized or generally being religious. It's not about being an Anglican, God forbid. It's not about being a Methodist, God forbid. Billy Graham tells a story. I don't know if I told you this last time. It's a hilarious story, really. We've got new arrivals now. Billy Graham said this: "I met a man in South Carolina. I said to him, 'Are you a Christian?' He said, 'No, thank God, I'm a Baptist.'" God is not a godfather because of any rituals that we do or a denomination we belong to. And he is neither a godfather nor a grandfather either. We cannot come into God's family merely because of the faith of our parents. I hope you have had godly parents. And one of our tasks as parents and grandparents is to pray for our children and our grandchildren. Ultimately, the responsibility for their involvement in the family of God will be theirs. And you and I look back, and I trust we have a moment of personal trust and commitment. We didn't choose the family we were born into, but we can choose to be a member of God's family. Very quickly, the other three. The family likeness. Now, that's just the Obama family. I don't know why the dog's there, but just a thought, really. We've all got photographs of family gatherings. See the family likeness? Little girl Emily was in church, and there was a flash of lightning outside. And she said to her mum, "God has taken my picture." The task of the Holy Spirit is to reproduce in us the likeness and image of Jesus Christ. And we are not clones. We are our own individuals, but we are all called upon to be like Jesus. The imagery used in Ephesians 2 is of being stones in a building. Now, the stones that built, the bricks that built this building, I imagine, were all uniform. In the first century, the bricks that built buildings were all irregular shapes, and each one was in an individual. And there is no evidence in the New Testament that we need to go it alone and to be part of the family by just being some uniform thing fitting into a groove. St. Mark's, let's talk about St. Mark's and St. Paul's. I'm a senior clergy person at St. Paul's. I'm the old man, the old irritant, Jurassic Ministries. Dinosaur.com, a dinosaur of a former age. I urge you, my friends here at St. Mark's, to be St. Mark's. Do not be a clone of Howell Hill. You heard it from me. All right? Send it the message to your new Nico, all right? Lovely man. Don't be a clone. Be that individual that God has created you and I to be, and that church community that we are called to be, and to demonstrate the family likeness, being like Jesus. The third one, family home. I'm probably a prosecutor for putting Shutterstock pictures on the floor. There's no place like home. Home is where we belong. Home is the place of security. Now, I don't know whether you're one of these folk around here, where I live in Cheam, of course. People have more than one house. Right? I can tell you that I have three homes. I have an earthly home, I have a spiritual home, and I have a heavenly home. And Jesus said to his disciples, "In my Father's house are many rooms." In the last few years, I've taken around 250 funerals. People were horrified when they heard me give that figure. They said, "Are the people in St. Paul's Howell Hill dying in those numbers?" I'm known to have that effect on people. But I said it's because I do locum work for funeral directors and churches around. So I'm very happy to do a Christian funeral where it's asked for. One of my friends, who's still alive now, but only to his 90s, I took his wife's funeral last year, wrote down some things he wanted to do at his funeral. And he showed me his ideas. And I said to Brian, I said, "Look, that thing about you doing your own eulogy at your own funeral." See? He said, "Ken," he said, "I want to record a video to be played at my funeral service." I said, "Brian, how are you going to start it?" He said, "Well, it'll start like this. I'm very sorry I can't be with you today. I have a new address." We have a family home, places where we belong. Family meal. We have a family meal, of course, as well. Here is a family meal. And they're so important. We're gaps in families when members are not present for these things. No wonder the New Testament says, don't give up meeting together. The early church had a fellowship which involved something in Greek called koinonia. You've probably heard that word. It means having things in common. If you look at Acts chapter 2 and Acts 4, you'll find that there are a lot of things the church did together. It prayed together. It worshipped together. It served together. It ate together. It gave together. And that togetherness is part of what it means to be part of the Christian family home. See, the alternative is spiritual homelessness. And I think that's a very serious issue these days. Many people say, "I really believe, Ken, but I don't like church." And the message for us as churches is our responsibility to provide a home where people are looking for meaning, destiny, purpose, and hope. And the fourth one was a family business, of course, as well. Now, Jesus, at the age of 12, remember, told his mother he had to be about his Father's business. You remember the text when he was in the temple and left behind? And we're in this business, as you see here, of worship and witness and work, the things we do together, how important they are. I believe it was the Duke of Edinburgh who formally introduced the phrase for the royal family of the firm. I think I'm correct on that. I think it was a Duke. And they talk about the firm. I married into a very influential Christian family here in Sheen and Sutton, known around in this area, particularly in the world of crusaders, for many years. I described my getting married to Margaret as marrying into the firm. But going back to the royal thing, you and I are actually members of a royal family, and we have a business to run. How you do that in any local situation, every parish is different, and what the future may hold for you, working together with us over down there in Howell Hill, but with James here, the future can be bright, and I want today to be an encouragement to you. So there we go. Well, have we summarised? I'm a teacher, so let's summarise. We're called upon, as you can see here, I think, to inherit the family name, imitate the family likeness, inhabit the family home, and involve the family business. Jesus ended his ministry with the great commission to his disciples in Matthew. Go and make disciples. Go and extend his family. He offered this promise, I'm with you always. Or, to put it another way, with apologies to Liverpool Football Club, you'll never walk alone. Amen. Let's keep a moment of silence together, shall we?